to start with the book of Numbers, and it's really important what Mike says before, and consider the whole scripture as one book and not just chapters here and chapters there. But the book of Numbers is in, we should say, almost the middle of what Moses wrote in the time of around 1400 BC, and we're going to consider how in the book of Genesis we have the calling of the people of Israel. In the book of Exodus we have the deliverance from Egypt, and then in the book of Leviticus we saw how the people of Israel was sanctified, and it's concerning the Levites. But now here in the book of Numbers, we are going to consider the journey of the people of Israel from that time in Mount Sinai. If we read the first verse of the book of Numbers, it says, "As the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying." So this is about what happened in the book of Exodus, and all the instructions that they were given by the Lord to Moses, the building of the tabernacle, the law, and many other things that we saw last week in the book of Exodus. But now here we will have the journey of the people of Israel from this moment to, if we go very quickly to the end of the book of Numbers, it will let us know where it ends, and then we will have the book of Deuteronomy. So the last chapter, last verse, it says, "These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho." So we have here how Moses spoke the words of the Lord. So if we want to answer the question of who is the writer of this book, well, of course it's Moses, because many times in this book we have how the Lord has spoken to Moses, chapter 1, and even in the last chapter. And I have some verses, verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 48, verse 1 of chapter 2. And many times here in the book of Numbers we will see how the Lord has spoken to Moses. So Moses is the type of Christ, and how Moses was the instrument of God to speak to the people of Israel. But now we have the privilege to have the word of God personally, which is the Spirit of Christ. And that's something that I would like to introduce today, how the book of the Bible is about Christ. And it's what we heard last week in the book of Luke, and even in John and in Matthew, how the scriptures are about Christ. So we ask for wisdom to God tonight to try to discover Christ in this beautiful book of Numbers. So basically the book of Numbers is called Numbers because we have two numbering of the people here, chapter 1 and chapter 26. And you may ask, why two numberings? Well, actually, the first numbering in chapter 1 is of an old generation, and I'm going to speak more about this later. And in chapter 26, we will have the numbering of a new generation. So you may ask, why two generations? Well, that's why the book of Numbers is really interesting. And it's how an old generation didn't believe what God says in His Word, and a new generation came after. So we're going to try to discover those things here in the book of Numbers. If it's the book of the journey, and then I'm going to show you three divisions of this book. So the first part, from chapter 1 to chapter 10, we will have the preparation of Sinai. So as we read before, those were the words that the Lord spoken to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. So here in the first part, we will have many interesting things that reveal our Lord Jesus. And thirdly, between chapter 1 and chapter 4, we have the position, the numbering, and the responsibilities of the people here, and it's beautiful because when we think about the number of the people, well, that's great because it gives us more information about which were the people who came out from Egypt, who were going to possess the promised land, and that's great. But when we go to the position of the people, that's even greater, because when I was looking into that, that was really beautiful how the tabernacle is in the center of the people, and around the tabernacle there were the Levites, and around the Levites there were three tribes in the south, three tribes on the north, three tribes on the east, and three tribes on the west. And we can read that in chapter 1 at the end, and verses 52 and 53, and it says, "And the children of Israel shall teach," chapter 1 at the end, verse 52 and 53, it says, "And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the church of the tabernacle of testimony." And that speaks about how God, it must be the center of the people of God. So God must be in the center. That means that Christ is the center of our lives. Christ is the center of our everything. Christ is the reason. And even as the Levites run about the tabernacle, it's a type of Christ, because we are not allowed to go. Well, at that time, the people were not allowed to go into the tabernacle, but there were the Levites around the tabernacle. So that means it's something between the people and between the tabernacle. And if we go to our days now, there is someone in the middle, which is Christ. Christ is the only mediator between man and between God. So that's the second thing I want to speak. So firstly, is how Christ is the center, and secondly, how Christ is the way. He's the way in between man and between God. So the three divisions that I want to speak tonight, the first one, as I told you, is the preparation of the old generation. So that's between chapter 1 and chapter 10. And the second part is the failure of this generation. So it's impressive, and it's striking how to consider how this old generation, so all the miracles that God did with the plagues in Egypt, how God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, how God were caring of them in the wilderness, but how these people were complaining all the way. And if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's kind of summary. It's a summary of what happened in the wilderness. It's something impressive, because they were the people of God, and they saw all the miraculous works that God did at that time. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, we will find many things that you will find in the book of Numbers, if you take a good reading of this book. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, and as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So if we go back, they did five things, and we will find those five things in the book of Numbers. And it's, for example, they lust after evil things in verse 6, we'll find that in Numbers 11, in chapter 11. If we go to, they commit fornication, and some of them committed and failed in one day, 3 and 20,000, we will find that in Numbers 25. And if we say in verse 9, let us tempt Christ, it happened in Numbers 21. And then it says, neither murmur ye, in verse 10, it will happen in Numbers 14. So we will find in the whole book of Numbers how the people fail, not just once, not twice, not three times, but many times. And we will find the mercy of God, how God is absolutely merciful with those people, and how He shows His kindness. Well, at the beginning, He put judgment on them, but then we will find how Moses pleaded for the people, and how Moses was asking for forgiveness to God. And it's beautiful how Moses is a type of Christ, how Christ was the one who was asking God for our forgiveness, but asking God for our forgiveness in the basis of His death, and in the basis of His life here on earth, and in the basis of His sacrifice. So it's sweet to think about Christ as our Savior, as the Savior of every one of our lives. And that's the second part that I was going to speak about you, the failure of the old generation. But the top of the failure, and I would like to really give you an approach of this, his disbelief in Kadesh Barnea, which was between chapter 13 and chapter 14. So you may ask, what is that? And the reason was, God gave them a promise that we saw in Genesis to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and it was a promise of a land. And you may ask, well, that's great, a promise of a land. But what happened with the people of Israel? They didn't believe on God. And that's what happened with the old generation. And it is an example, as it says in 1 Corinthians, it's an example for ourselves. Are we believing on the promises of God? If not, what's going to happen? Well, with the people of Israel was judgment. And we may see in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, in the middle of the second division of the book, very quickly, and it says in chapter 13, and then the Lord spoke unto Moses, verse 1, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. So it was spoken unto Moses to send 12 spies. So 12 spies went to the promised land. And if we go to the verse 25, it says that they returned from searching the land after 40 days. But what happened? 12 people went to the promised land, but just 2 believed on the promise of God, and 10 were complaining about what God was going to do. Why? Because they saw the circumstances, and the circumstances around was great people, great warriors, and they tried to do the will of God by themselves. And that's a problem, because we cannot do the will of God if God is not helping us to do His will. And they didn't believe in God, so that's an admonition, or that's an exhortation for ourselves to believe on the promises of God. And the last part, so 3 parts. First part, the preparation of the old generation. Second part, the failure of that generation. And the third part, after 40 years, all that generation who faced the judgment of God, they just died in the wilderness. So we will find a new generation at the end of the chapters of Numbers. And that new generation is the generation who is going to cross the Jordan to conquer the promised land. And that's what the book of Deuteronomy is gonna talk about. So I'm just going to summary the book of Numbers in 6 things. And the first one is, as I told you before, Christ, the center of our lives, as Christ was the center of the people of God throughout the wilderness. So the tabernacle was in the center, and the people was around the tabernacle. And if we remember on Sundays, Christ is the center of our meetings. So Christ is the center of our remembrance. The second one, Christ is the only access to God. So as the Levites were run about the tabernacle, or the high priest, it was the way before to go into the promise, into the presence of God. Is Christ today the only access to God, to get into God? And the third one is, well, if we go some of the of the things of the preparation of the old generation. There were precepts, there were some things about leprosy, the compensation, and it was something beautiful about the vow of the Nazarite, who was one person consecrated unto God and to do different things. So that reminds me how Christ was totally separated to do the will of God. So first one, Christ in the center. Secondly, Christ the only access to God. Thirdly, how Christ was separated to do the will of God. Number five, how Christ was caring of the people all the way of the wilderness. Try to imagine living in the wilderness for around 40 years. It's almost impossible for someone. But Christ, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, was that the spiritual rock? Was that the spiritual meat, spiritual supplement of that people? And number six, and the last one, is Christ is our salvation. So basically, the book of Numbers gives us some examples to what happened to people who don't believe in the promises of God, who try to do the will of God in their own strength, but that's impossible. The only way to do the will of God is through His power, through the Holy Spirit. And lastly, I just want to read Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, which is an invitation for us, which says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin." So for unbelievers, it will be an instruction to believe on God, in the promises of God. Today is the day of salvation. We still have time to believe in our Lord Jesus as our Lord, as God, as Savior, to ask Him for forgiveness of our sins. But for believers, it's a time to remember that God was protecting His people throughout the wilderness. And the wilderness is our life here on earth. How many trials and problems, but God is the one who is caring of us. So that's a little bit of the book of Numbers, and it's an incredible book to read and to learn. So hope God has spoken tonight about this book, and just it's an invitation for us to read this book.